Welcome back to the voice of the private sector and the second hour of Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing.
And we welcome you back to the voice of the private sector, hour number two. But first, let's thank our guests in hour number one, the president of Oregon Ironworks, Corey Iragwan. We also heard from Captain George Capacci at the Washington State Ferry System and Dan Kovacic, vice president at Maxim Petroleum, as we wrapped up week three of Marine Manufacturing Month. Next weekend, big news as Vigor launches the Vigorous, largest dry dock on the West Coast. And we'll be there with complete coverage next weekend right here on Business Briefing. Shifting gears now back to the economy and part two of our interview with Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. I sat down with Pat this past week to talk about the national and global economy.
Okay, Pat, it sounds to me like most economists who are wrapping up 2014, looking ahead into 2015, have revised GDP upward a little bit. We're seeing upper twos and threes. You have talked about this for the past several years. Looking into your crystal ball here, things are really looking good in 2015. Anything that could trip us up?
If you get enough what I call fear factor data points, the market reacts, and we're seeing that right now. And, if the market reacts significantly enough, that affects consumer confidence. So you can have impact on the economy from that point of view. Goldman Sachs, which I really like their analytics, they just lowered their GDP projections for the Q3 to 3.2 and from Q4 to 3.0. That was based on what is perceived as a renewed disinflationary fear for Europe and the Far East. So they're being cautious given the international outlook. I don't think that there is any – right now there's nothing on the horizon that I think will unseat expectations for 3% GDP growth. But knock on wood, because we don't control the whole world, obviously.
Stock market, a little bit of a correction here recently. I know we don't typically talk about that. I don't follow it, and it has very little impact on, I know, many of the investments of the folks who listen to our show. But let's talk about this. What's going on?
Well, this, if we could, you're putting me on the spot here, Brian. Let me say this. The stock market reflects the fact that there is a tremendous amount of liquidity in the economy, and the liquidity has chased assets. I think that the stock market valuations maybe have been slightly excessive because of the amount of liquidity. If you look at the increases in consumer wealth since the downturn, the bulk of that has occurred from the stock market. Housing is still maybe 5-6% under where it was when the downturn occurred. So you have a lot of assets chasing equities. And, I think people get a little nervous when you have a plethora of bad news, be it ISIS, be it problems in Eastern Europe, be it Ebola, be it whatever, and people get nervous about it. I think the latest the vacillations in the stock market, people are trying to quantify what would be the impact on international trade and travel from the Ebola scare. I think rational minds will prevail, but I do think you'll see some quick adjustments right here. I don't anticipate, for what it's worth, I'm not anticipating a major sell-off, but there will be a small correction.
Pat Stone, president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us here, as always, on Business Briefing. You touched on the amount of liquidity in the market, obviously generated by our friends at the Federal Reserve over the past 4 or 5 years. Let's talk about that, because I touched on the NAIOP meeting in Portland this past week, and you talk about banks with all this money to lend, and now there's pressure for them to lend it out, but they still have very strict guidelines. In fact, Ben Bernanke came out a couple weeks ago and said he couldn't get his refinancing done, which is remarkable to me. Let's talk about the impact of that, because the banks have a lot of money to lend. I mean, that was a big topic at the NAIOP meeting earlier this week. What does that mean for the market?
Well, that's a little dated, because lending standards loosened up dramatically in Q2 and again in Q3. Are they still more restrictive than they were 6-8 years ago? Absolutely. But it is no longer that difficult to get a refi. I'm really kind of curious what happened to Mr. Bernanke. So I think they have lightened up a little bit. Now, the bank's real problem is that they have such narrow margins because interest rates, I mean, it's really impacted their earnings and their income. But they are aggressively seeking loans outside of real estate. They are aggressively seeking business loans. In fact, I have been inundated with calls from lenders offering credit on just about anything. I know, so they want business loans. They want short-term business loans. And they want lines of credit. They want things that they can make money on. Mortgage rates are hard for them to make money on right now. So, you know, they go where they can make a profit.
Okay, thanks for putting that in perspective. You know, off the top of the show, I mentioned to our audience that I swear you have a crystal ball hidden somewhere in your office, because it wasn't more than a couple years ago when gas prices were up around $5 a gallon, you told everybody to just chill out. It's going to be okay. We've got plenty of oil reserves. We've got plenty going on. Everything's going to be okay. And I filled up that big fat SUV of mine the other day at $3.19 a gallon up in Seattle. And, you know, here we are. We definitely have a surplus. Things are looking good. Oil prices coming way down. Obviously, gas prices way down. You called it.
Yeah, you know, I own some oil wells, so I'm not all that happy about it, but you can see it coming. The really fascinating thing right now, if you understand the industry, is the cost of production varies widely by the type of oil and area that is being pumped. You know, the Bakken oil field in North Dakota is extremely expensive. You know, if you get down to the Permian Basin in Texas, it's about half the cost of producing a gallon of oil. So this will have a meaningful impact. I mean, there's sent in on an event in Texas last week where a Texas economist said that it would have to get under $70 to derail the economy in Texas. I guarantee you, if the oil price of oil gets under $70, it will have a meaningful impact in North Dakota. So, you know, this is like something, like a lot of things that we talk about, Brian. We talk about numbers and trends and everything on a large scale, but the impact locally and regionally is dramatically different.
Most of the reaction to this, though, has been positive for the overall economy.
Oh, excuse me, and I didn't mean to mislead your listeners. The net impact for the consumer is good, right? You know, I was kind of focused there for a minute on the economic impact regionally in the country. The impact for the consumers has been very, very positive. It will be even more positive this winter because the cost of heating oil is going to be low. And people, you know, that's something that people realize, but they can't really quantify. That's going to be very positive. And one of the reasons I'm optimistic is because the cost of heating oil, fuel, and electricity, which is tied in about 30% of our electricity now comes from natural gas. All those things are tied to petroleum products, and they're all in a long-term secular downtrend. And I don't see OPEC really doing anything to countervene this. I don't see them unifying to hold out on production. That's not going to happen. So I think we're going to see a trend of lower energy prices for a good period of time. And I think also complementing it, if I can wander here a little bit, is the fact that all your commodity futures are down or trending down. So I think food prices are down. And, you know, so the consumer is going to be benefiting over the next 6 to 9 months to a year from lower costs around maintaining their lifestyle. And I think that will be reflected positively in the economy.
And I heard one of the sheiks in Saudi Arabia actually had to lay off 10 of his wives because of this.
I'm not even sure how I should respond to that, Brian.
It was just a rumor, Pat. Not a news item, just a rumor. I want to wrap up with interest rates. We talked about inflation quite a bit last time we had you on, so we don't need to discuss that. But, you know, every time you talk to a lender, they tell you, hey, we think rates are going to kind of trend upward next year. Personally, I don't see it. You know, U.S. is a safe haven for the world now more than ever. Treasuries, big time. I don't see it. Do you?
Absolutely not. You know, we're in a global disinflationary cycle. There's no way for Europe to get out of it. They cannot get consensus on doing any sort of meaningful stimulus. We have dysfunctional political bodies everywhere in the world. The only area that has been able to do infrastructure as a stimulus program, which is the best way to do it, has been China. They've exhausted that. They've built all the empty cities they can build. You know, so we have a problem where we're dependent on central banks. The tool that central banks use has been used up. So we're not going to counter this disinflationary cycle for a while. And so consequently, we're not going to see any meaningful price pressure in the U.S. and very little pressure on interest rates.
And again, our thanks to Patrick Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title. Up next, more business briefing, a special guest on deck. Stay tuned.